I'm Matt.
Hey, I'm Steve.
Hey, I'm John.
This is the Sober Friends Podcast. We're here for the sober curious, the new guy, and the old timer. We're here to talk about the stuff anyone looking to live alcohol-free has to face day to day, and how we overcame those struggles. We speak for no 12-step group, but we do try to remain anonymous. You're not alone. This is the Sober Friends Podcast.
Just because we're in recovery, Steve, doesn't mean that we're not faced with medical issues that could upend our recovery. Doesn't mean surgeries don't go away. Doesn't mean injuries and stuff. And sometimes medicine intervenes and we might be faced with the option of pain pills. And you mentioned that you're about to have some surgery, which you talked about at your meeting. Tell me more about this.
Actually, I had my surgery. I had my surgery on Tuesday.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah, I thought it was coming up.
No, I had my surgery Tuesday. I had a hernia surgery for a herniated navel. And anyway, so I had it. And when I first thought about getting this, it's been an ongoing thing. My general doctor, my GP, has been saying, hey, does this bother you? And I'm like, no. So finally, we decided to have it done. And I thought it would be somewhat kind of simple, but it wasn't. It's full surgery, full anesthesia. Mm-hmm. So I was sent home Tuesday. And I'll tell you something. I've had a rotator cuff surgery, which was one thing. Nothing was as painful as this.
Wow.
So what they did was they sent me home with pain meds, right? And I've had different pain meds, but they sent me home with oxys, right? And just, you know, I don't want to trigger anybody because that's not my drug of choice. And I always laugh at that because I know it could be, but it's just never was. It was never something I was very interested in. And it's sort of that whole craze came long after I got sober. But so I don't really fear that, but I know that's a problem for some people. I was talking to somebody today before we were recording this, who that would be a problem for. And we talked about that, how that would be a problem. And we talked about some of the strategies you can do. I know that when I first got sober, that when I had my surgery shoulder about 4 years ago, you know, at that point, I was a little worried about it because I was going to need these pain meds probably a little bit longer. And what I did was I just sort of handed them to my wife, right, and let her dispense them to me. Took it out of my control. But it is something that we have to think about, right? I mean, like I said, I know people who say, well, I won't take pain. I'm just telling you something. You could say you won't take pain medication, and people can do it. But I'm going to tell you something. Tuesday when I got home, I mean, this was, you know, they did surgery and they sent me home. Yeah, I don't think, I guess I could have survived it without it Tuesday and Wednesday. But man, it was really, really tough. Those were two really tough days. And I needed them. And you know, I took them as prescribed. And they pretty much told me it would be for a couple of days. These days, you don't get a bunch of them. They sent me home with basically seven doses, right? 14 pills of Oxy 10s, if you will. And you take two every 6 hours. And I haven't even finished them at this point, right? Because I don't need them right now. And I've gotten much better, very much quicker than I thought. But it's a real issue, and it's something that we all have to pay attention to.
Those pain pills were something I really loved. I didn't get hooked on them. Well, let me put it this way. I could have gotten hooked on them, but I was too afraid of how I was going to get more, and they did make me nauseous. But I love the feeling of pain medication. I'm trying to look up here the woman who watches our kids. She was our nanny, and it was bad. She had multiple hernias that she was done. As bad as what you're saying happened to you, it was a lot more. Yeah, I'm not seeing the list of things that she was on, but she was on a heavy pain medication and something else. Like they mixed multiple ones, and she looked saw what the effects were, and she stopped at cold turkey, which I looked at that and like, well, you clearly don't have a problem if you're stopping those cold turkey and handling the issues, but it's an issue. And I look at this as really very gray in the AA world. Some people don't like to be in the gray area,
right?
Oh, you can't take that. You're in recovery. Well, if you have a really bad surgery, what the hell are you going to do? There's only so much naproxen sodium you can take or ibuprofen. And sometimes you do need a little something to get through.
Yeah. Listen, I'm of the opinion that if you can take anything you want under doctor's orders,
yes,
as long as you're taking them as prescribed, right? And that's just me, right? That's my opinion. I just think if you get a medication and it's prescribed by a doctor, who knows, you have an issue, or you may have an issue. My doctor does, right? You could talk about it with your doctor, and you need a strategy. So,
yeah,
you know, it was prescribed to me. It was two pills every 6 hours, and that's what I took. And then they also prescribed me, you know, and it's always weird. They prescribed me 500 milligram tablets of Tylenol, which you can buy over the counter. So it was alternating. You know, you take the oxys and then you take the Tylenol. And I needed to do that for the first, like, not quite 48 hours. But I took them as prescribed. And like I said, I haven't even used them all. Like, I still got two left or something like that. So, you know, again, that tells me I don't need a problem, and I'm not thinking, oh, I should take these because they'll make me feel better. I don't need them, you know? So
I didn't use more when I had knee surgery or when I busted out my ribs and they gave me Vicodin, but I looked forward to it. And then after, when I had some left over before I quit drinking, I would go grab some if I was in a bad place. So I was definitely abusing them at a lighter level. I wasn't doing it all the time.
Right.
But man, I love the feeling of pain medication.
Yeah. I'll tell you something. If I was drinking, this is the whole point. I say, oh, it's not a problem for me. It's not a problem for me because I'm in a program, I have a program, and I'm working a program, okay? But I will tell you this. If I was drinking and had this surgery, there is no question, number one, I would have been, I'm not sure they would have done it, but there is no question that I would have been looking forward to taking these. Like, oh, man, let me have a couple drinks plus
yes,
take the pain meds, right? Like, really get that feeling. Like, there is no question that I would be doing that. Because I have always liked how things make me feel. So, but you know, again, I'm in a program, I work a decent program. You know, I knew when I got these, I was like, listen, when I left the hospital, I had the surgery Tuesday early morning. And when I got out of surgery, I was sitting there and the nurse came over and got me situated in a chair. And she said to me, she's like, you know, what's your pain level? And I'm like, yeah, she goes 0 to 10, and I was barely, you know, awake, and I'm like, it's an 8 at least,
yep,
right? And she went right over, and she's like, all right, and she brought me a couple pills, and they worked. Like within an hour, you know, I was like, okay, that pain's down. And by the time I left, she had said, what's your pain now? I'm like, maybe a 4, you know, and so that right there just told me, like, the pills did what they were supposed to do.
Yep.
Like, there was no buzz. It was like they went right to the pain and they managed the pain for me. And that's why I knew. So we were able to do it, get home, you know, and I knew at that point, I got home. I didn't move much on Tuesday. Got into a chair in our den and, you know, and then my wife would just bring me these. And that's where I stayed for the next 24 plus hours, maybe 36 hours, just not even eating much, just getting up to hit the bathroom if I needed to. But it's a tricky situation.
Absolutely.
And if you're, you know, if your sobriety is not in a good place, it is can be very, very problematic. And again, it's one of these mentally problematic mm-hmm. things, maybe more than physically. You know, because what might happen in something like this is that you start thinking, oh, these things are going to make me feel better. Not feel better physically, yep, right? Then they will. But feel like, oh, yeah, I'm going to feel happy. I'm going to feel light. My problems are going to go away, like that kind of stuff. And again, you know, if you're drinking, all things are off. And I've always said that, you know, I've shared with, like, I was never a big drug person, but it's one of the reasons why I don't try. I don't even think about doing anything else because any mind-altering substance will lead me back to alcohol, mm-hmm. right? It'll lead me back to alcohol. I know that for sure. So eventually I would just end up drinking, which is really where my problem is because it's so accessible to me. Because you're right, a little bit harder to get some of the stuff. And nowadays, like, I'm so happy I'm not in this with all the other stuff out there, all the fentanyl out there. You don't know what you're buying.
Absolutely.
It like you can end up dead in 2 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. There's somebody whose birthday is coming up on my Facebook feed who died of an overdose. And it was one of these things where he got into a bad fight with his wife, went out, got some opiates. It was laced with something and he's dead. Just like that. So that's an awfully bad thing. I think the key here is if you're in one of our buddies, Vinny, was on pain medication. I remember this was like probably 8 or 9 years ago and didn't want to take it. And his plan was call the sponsor and ask them, what should I do? And the sponsor asked some questions around, why are you taking it? What did the doctor say? What's the purpose? How long are you supposed to be on it? And it's like, okay, if the doctor gave it to you, then what you need to do is you need to use it as directed and no more.
Right.
And I think that for me, I probably speak for a lot of other people that we have a hair trigger. I have this, am I breaking my sobriety? Am I doing something wrong? Am I going to end up back in addiction again? Because we don't want to go back there. And I think there's something to be said. This is the gray area of a doctor is giving it to you, but I think it's also important to have a plan.
You know, Vinny's a great example of that because, you know, we both knew Vinny for a long time. He's now living the good life, going between Florida and Cape Cod, depending on the weather. And but Vinny had some problems with meds like that. He, you know, that was an issue for him. So that was a very big problem for him. You know, and he handled it by doing the right thing, making sure that he talked about it, got some advice, and, you know, then handled it appropriately. And I think that's all we can all do. You know, I don't have this problem. I really have this weird thing. Like, I don't have a problem about, like, oh, I'm going to mess up my sobriety, like date-wise. Like, ooh, am I going to lose my sobriety date? I mean, that's what I hear what a lot of people say. That doesn't bother me at all. Like, I don't worry about losing my sobriety date because I've said it here before. I'm not a big one on anniversaries. Really important shows that the program work and all, but it's really about, you know, the quality of my program rather than the quantity of my program. So I don't worry about much about that. But I do worry about the slippery slope.
Yep.
I do worry about that whole thing that makes me feel good. That, you know, I mean, I did that for a long time, right? I mean, I drank for a long time. And even when I stopped or when I came back, it was like that problem was still there. I drank because of how it made me feel. Or, to put it more bluntly, how it made me not feel, right? I mean, that's what it was, how I didn't feel all the bad stuff. And that's the kind of stuff that I get really worried about. Is that I can slip down that slope very easily. I can take it, and I can start making some excuses. Oh, the pain is too much, right? I start doing that stuff.
Yes.
That lying, that whole thing, you know. Today, I don't have to do that. So today when I wake up and my wife says, you know, how are you feeling? I can tell her, you know, I actually feel pretty good. You know, some discomfort, trust me. Like, the surgical site, I know I had surgery, but it's, I'll tell you what it feels like today, except there's a couple places that are a little bit pulley on my abdomen. But it feels like maybe I did a really tough ab workout.
Okay.
Right? And a new one. Like, if you ever, like, never, you haven't done abs in 6 months or 2 years, and then you start working on your abs, how much they hurt right after they're done, that's what this feels like, you know, right now. So it's not a feeling that I'm not used to. But I also know I don't need to do anything about it. Like, you know, yes, I started Thursday to be able to walk the dog on the street, right? That's 2 days after my surgery. And today I'll probably take her for a bigger walk on the street, right? I took it easy, Today I feel really good. It's sun's shining today, first time in a long time for us. So I think I'll get out there and do some work, do some walking. And it really is. I mean, I just try to keep it all in perspective, right? I mean, people were asking me, checking in, hey, how you doing? And I, you know, yeah, our buddy Jeff was, you know, text me, and I'm like, man, I feel like crap. but I was able to say, I know this too shall pass, right?
Yeah, limited saying, time. Like,
right. And I actually, much quicker than I thought. Like I said, by 48 hours, I was feeling much better, you know, so... and I, you know, I think they know that they have a history. That's why they send you home with just a few of these pills, mm-hmm. just to get you through those first few hours.
I think there's other areas here where there is other gray areas. I have two issues that a controlled substance might be beneficial. Two of them, ADHD and restless leg syndrome. If you have restless legs, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, it's the most difficult thing to describe to somebody of what it is like, but it is an awful feeling, and it interrupts your sleep. And there are controlled substances for that. So I take, he's trying gabapentin with me, which the gabapentin seems to be working. It's not something that gets me high or anything. I think it's an anti-seizure medication. I think some people use it for pain. But I will tell you, I don't go and crave the gabapentin. I take what I take at the end of the night, and it does help me get to sleep. And it is doing some work to get that kicking down so I can sleep. If I were to stop taking gabapentin, I think I would be in a world of hurt. But I take that. I take anti-anxiety medication. He's got me on Effexor for ADHD, which has some benefit. I don't know how well it's working. But the medication for ADHD is our stimulants. I was telling my wife about Adderall, and I said, basically, it's a pharmaceutical-grade speed. That's right. What it is. And I have heard of people who take it off-brand and said, it's like everything stops, and it is such a feeling. And my doctor does not want to give that to me. Haven't asked for it. But he really doesn't want to give that to me. And the other thing, because I go through Reddit and look at some of these things, and my boss has also told me of another medication that could help with these two things, and that's cannabis. In the state of Connecticut, cannabis is legal. I was hopeful that you could get like some medical grade CBD, which does not cause you to get high. But they don't. You got to get a prescription for that. And at that point, I could probably just get some good elsewhere. But cannabis is one of those things. I never liked cannabis. It made me paranoid. It never was my thing. Never, ever, ever, ever. Never enjoyed it. But I did ask my doctor about, like, what are your thoughts on cannabis? And he looked horrified that I brought it up. He's one of these guys that cannabis is no good. I don't understand it, which I don't know about that. But I'm not in that place where I'm going to pick up some gummies at the dispensary in town. But if I was in a place where there was nothing else, maybe I make a plan for that of how that would work.
Yeah. That is one of those things that's interesting, because just before I had the surgery, I also had my annual physical, and you know, my doctor was going through all this stuff, and he asked me about it, and he's like, you know, asked me if I drank, stuff like that, which he knows I don't, but he got to ask the question. So I say no. And he goes, are you using cannabis like everybody else in this world? Is the way he put it, right? And I'm like, no. And here's what I told him. Like, no. I said, I probably would if I could, but I can't, right? And that's what I told him. Probably would if I could. And cannabis is another one of those things, right? And I was all for the legalization of it, because I do think there's some, especially on the medical side. My wife took it for a while on the medical side because she has really bad arthritis. And at first she thought it helped her, and then she stopped because it wasn't helping her. Or at least she says it wasn't helping her. But you can take that in doses where you're not getting high, right? I mean,
yes.
There is that, you know, those, I want to say micro doses, which is mostly associated with like LSD stuff, but you can do a much smaller dose. Again, would I do that? No. No, it would be a last resort. But I will tell you this, right? But see, and this is how I feel. Again, this is my opinion. What I think at this point would work for me. If I had a condition that I thought I needed that, right? If I was on chemo and I had no appetite and they told me, like, you really need to eat or you're just going to die, but and maybe you should try some cannabis to help you, you know, do your appetite. Like, I may try it then, right? And it could be prescribed. In Connecticut, we also have medical marijuana, right, which can be prescribed. And if you want to know what the difference, you know, the only difference between those two is that if you have medical marijuana, you don't pay the tax on it, right? That's what it is. You don't, it's taxed really high, the regular use stuff and the medical stuff, you don't pay that tax on it. It's all the same marijuana. And but I would be willing to try that. Again, would I be nervous? Yeah. Would I claim, again, this is me, would I claim that if I took this for a really medical reason that was prescribed by a doctor, would I have to claim, would I have to think that I'd have to reset my sobriety date? Me? No. I wouldn't. I don't feel that way. I'd be taking it for a reason. If I started using it, like, hey, we're going out Friday night, I want to get a buzz, and I started using it,
that's a
different story. But if I'm using it for a reason, no, I wouldn't. I don't feel I would have to.
I looked at it this way. I did a lot of research on it. I wasn't looking to take cannabis because I don't like the feeling, but I did some research on it, and looking around with the Effexor I'm on, there is a risk of really augmenting the dopamine in my brain, which is why I don't take Requip anymore. Requip really killed the restless leg stuff, but it also made me feel like my whole body was on fire. And that was because I was mixing two agents that boosted dopamine. And that's something that cannabis does. That dopamine increase is also not a good thing. And I don't want that feeling. So I looked at it and like, okay, what I'm doing now is a better option. And under no circumstances did I feel, oh, I'm really disappointed, I wanted to get on cannabis. It's like, no, I'm outlining this as a type of medication. I looked at what cannabis can do. I looked at the other medications and said, I think these would interact. Let's try something else. And that was it. Okay, I'm good. Because I didn't want to get high from that stuff. Basically, because that was not my drug of choice. I never liked it.
Right.
So that was an easy one for me because I never liked it.
Yeah. And that's something that, you know, And that's the difference between me. And it's interesting we're talking about. Because when I was younger, I loved it, right? I was different. I loved it. I got a phone call from a guy in the program who I haven't talked to in years. And just out of the blue, my phone rang. And it was interesting because I don't pick up phone numbers that I don't know.
Me neither.
And I looked at this one and something, for some reason, I picked up this phone call. And it was this guy I knew, and he says, "Hey, Steve, it's Neil." I'm like, "Hey, Neil, we get talking." And he tells me he's been on this cannabis maintenance program for the last. So, and when I saw him last, he was struggling with that too. Mm-hmm. And apparently, he goes, "You know, I realized that I use cannabis just like I use alcohol." And I said, "That's my problem, right? Yep. Like, I was never like." You know, when I finally had that problem with alcohol, I never said, let's go out and have a couple beers so I get a little buzz. I was always like, I drank to excess. Same thing. Like, I was never, let's take a couple puffs of a joint of, you know, pot or whatever and just get a little buzz on. Nope. I was like, let's smoke the whole thing until I can't walk anymore. Right. And that's the way I was. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, there was no middle ground for me. So there's nothing in my brain that tells me I can safely smoke cannabis, right? There's nothing in my, like, I know that I can't. It's been, I was in my 20s when I stopped, right? I was in my 20s when I stopped smoking that. So, you know, that's 40 years for me, probably. Not quite, but probably pretty close to 40 years. And I'm pretty sure that if I picked up and tried it, man, I'd just want to go right back to that 20-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it would take me back. It would take me back to that 20-year-old. And that 20-year-old also used to love to drink tequila. So I'd be back there in a flash.
Yep.
And that, to me, is just, it would ruin my whole life. So I got to be careful with all that stuff.
Yeah.
And there was a time, I remember when this whole lead up to cannabis being legal in Connecticut, like I shared about it a lot at meeting, like this is weighing on my head, man. It's like, you know, something's telling me like, hey, maybe this is an option,
they're
right?
It was everywhere. Like, if you go
nowadays, they are.
If you drive either way around, we have this mall in Manchester. Yeah. There's like a front entrance and a back entrance. You can kind of drive around the mall. There are cannabis places on both sides of the mall.
Yeah. Yep.
And then further up the street.
Around.
I mean, they are everywhere. If it's a main drag where there are businesses, you are going to find a dispensary.
Yeah. And that's fine. Again, that's fine for people who can do it. I can't do it. And I'm sure there's a lot of people doing it who can't do it either. But that's another story. So it's always an issue, you know, just to think about our topic. But, you know, like my buddy Neil, who gave me a call, using any mind-altering substance, right? And that's what happens. That's what you get from a lot of people. Anything that alters my mind, I can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people who hold that. Like they will not take pain meds. And they will just suck it up. And God bless them if they feel that way. But I have to be careful. And I have to know it. My wife knows it. You know, we work a program that requires rigorous honesty.
Yeah, I think that's the key.
Right, and that is. It's not honesty. It requires rigorous honesty. And that's what we have to do, right? So, and I remember, like, when I first came home the first time, it was like, my wife's like, hey, do you want me to hold those? And I was like, yeah, why don't you hold those for me? Like, and you know, I wasn't sure.
I would have
like,
my wife do that.
Right, why don't you hold those? Like, you know? And when I brought these home, I was like, nah, you can leave them out because I'm going to need them in the middle of the night. And I don't want to have to get you up in the middle of the night. It all depends on where you are in your journey. Depends on your support situation. Depends on your program. On like how, you know, how well connected you are and how that looks for you.
Yeah. So the key here is this is what I would do with all this stuff. It's gray area. I hope I haven't freaked anybody out with this topic. But if I'm thinking of something that is mind altering for medical purposes for me, I talk to my sponsor or my crew of people who I really trust. I might even bring this up as a topic at AA that I'm going to announce. This is something that I'm dealing with. This is something medically the doctor has talked about. Here's why I'm considerate or I'm going to do it. Here is what my plan is. I'm going to give my wife this because this is a good topic because somebody might be sitting in the room thinking about this and you could give, they'll be silent, but you're giving them the good idea. Mm-hmm. Think about what is my purpose here and what am I going to do? And there is risk that you could relapse from this no matter what you do. But being like, especially if it's major surgery or a lot of things like a hernia, do you really want to sit there in pain for that long? What is the negative of that?
I think the bigger risk, and that's perfect, exactly what you said there. That's such a great thing. I'm glad you said that. Is to take this information and bring it up in a meeting and put it out there. Because a couple things that are going to happen. Number one is you're going to get, just like we talked about, you're going to get all these different viewpoints. You're going to get these people, they're going to tell you, nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm not sure. You know, you're going to get those viewpoints of, no, I don't think you should do anything. But you'll get a whole bunch of different viewpoints out there. And it's so important that we do that. Again, that becomes that rigorous honesty that you put it out there and let people know.
Yes.
The other thing is to make sure if you have that rigorous honesty that you talk about it, right? And you say, you come back and you say, hey, I just want to let you know. And again, it doesn't have to be all the time, but I started this. I'm managing it. So I think one of the bigger problems is something like you talked about with Adderall, right? With your ADHD, right? That could go on for your lifetime, right? So that's different than being sent home with 14 oxys that they're not gonna re-up them for me, right? They're not.
No.
But Adderall, like you're gonna have that every month, right? And you're gonna have that if you chose to go on it. For as long as you might feel the necessary.
Right.
that's a little bit harder to manage. And again, you know, our program tells us if we need that stuff, then we need to go to the medical people and get help. We don't have all the answers. We don't have, and you know, if you're gonna let your other issues ruin your life, like your ADHD or other things that could also make your life unmanageable. Let's face it, right?
If it does, and it has in the past,
right? Then that's not helpful either. So it's a tricky situation. But like you said, bringing it up in meetings, talking about it. Absolutely great ideas.
I will tell you the one thing that I accidentally found out that helps ADHD for me mm-hmm. was going to the gym in the morning before work. Yeah. And the only reason I was doing that was I was finding I couldn't do it in the afternoon. My wife wasn't home. The girls were here. And if I didn't get up early to go to the gym, it wasn't going to happen. And I get a reimbursement if I go 120 times in a year. And I just missed it last year. And I just feel better in the morning. And I realized one day, you know what? I'm a little bit more focused than I normally am. And the only thing that's different is I'm going to the gym in the morning.
Yeah.
So there's also that, as sometimes a different way of exercising can solve some of these problems.
Absolutely.
We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about this topic? More of a controversial one. If you are all types of pissed off about this topic, that's okay. You can email matt@soberfriendspod.com or on Instagram @soberfriendspod, the website, soberfriendspod.com, where you can sign up for the website. Hey, haven't seen you put in an Apple review in a long time. We would love to get 5 stars and a reason why you love the podcast. Steve, hope you're feeling better.
Thanks, Matt.
And we'll see everybody next week. Bye, everybody. You made it this far into the podcast. That tells me you're a pretty big fan. If you like what we do and you find value in the podcast, consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod. Your donation keeps us on the air to help out the new guy and helps us defray some of our costs. If you find value in our podcast, please consider a donation at buymeacoffee.com/soberfriendspod.